everyone, welcome to God's Plan, Your Part, Year 2, where this year we're reading through and studying the entire New Testament, one chapter at a time. Thanks again for joining us in discovering God's plan and your part in it. Today we are in Acts chapter 11, and today we're definitely looking at a shorter chapter, but I think there's a lot packed in here. We see a little bit of Peter as he is trying to figure out where the Gentiles fit, and I guess guiding others as he is figuring that out, as well as the Holy Spirit is now impacting not just the Jews, but it's also infiltrating into the Gentiles, which is kind of cool. We also see a little bit more of Saul and Barnabas and their ministry and how it's beginning to take off. Saul is definitely still learning, but teaching at the same time. So it's cool to see him as this apprentice in a way, but building his credibility among the people who probably would have been very fearful of him not too long ago.
Yeah, it feels like today's chapter is, it's probably half of this chapter is still related to the story from the day before.
Yeah.
So half of Acts 11 is kind of clean up from Acts 10. It's really interesting to me, and we talked about this some yesterday, but I think just to do the chapter justice, I'll talk about it again. God has never been that exclusive. God has never been so exclusive that all the Gentiles were excluded from his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, reading through the Old Testament, one of the things that sticks out is how many Gentiles become obedient to God and are included in his plan.
I think something that needs to be cleared up as well is Gentiles is anybody outside of the Jewish background.
That is true.
Anyone.
I kind of hate using that language, and I still use it all the time because it's just confusing. But it's any non-Jew,
right?
Like anybody who is not historically, genealogically Jewish. And you can see here that Peter and the early church, I guess really it says people of the circumcision party. So these are still some Jewish folks.
Mm-hmm.
They are under this impression that God only cares about Jews. It's really odd how it's so ingrained in their lives and their opinions and their thoughts and their practices, because God is clearly not that way and has never been that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think something that's always stuck out to me, especially now that we have read through, if you go back and or if you've been with us for a long time or you would like to, we've gone through the entire Bible last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been really helpful to me because I always had a really hard time drawing that line. Well, it's God liked them first. But here's the thing, God chose them to be an example to the rest of the world.
Right.
Do these things so that you stand out, so that people notice.
Exactly.
And so for me, it's been really helpful to see it in that lens, because before it was all these other people, they were worshiping other gods. They were doing horrific, terrible things. They had no interest in who God was. So God setting apart the Jewish people was a way to be something is different about them. There is a real God that's moving and working in these people. And I don't think that Gentiles were ever excluded from that.
Right.
But were welcomed in, hopefully, by the example that these people hopefully set for them.
Right.
So I think that's just, it's helpful to think about it in those terms too, because I've always felt why am I allowed to be a part of this then? It's a really serious question, because it seems so exclusive.
God speaks to Abraham in Genesis 12 and says that he will be a blessing to all nations.
Yeah.
And God is choosing the people of Israel to be a nation of priests so that they would be basically representing him to the world. So people were supposed to see the lives of the Israelites and be drawn to God so that they could become obedient to God. The problem is the Israelites are rarely obedient to God.
Well, and ironically enough, who is the greatest high priest? It's Jesus, who comes from that lineage as well. So funny how none of those people beforehand ever really
right.
made the cut, but Jesus is still that, and he's still drawing people to himself, which is really cool too.
Just to clarify kind of what I'm mentioning here, Abraham was not a Jew. That was not a thing. He was just a guy that was out worshiping pagan gods, and God called him out. So, I mean, it's a little bit weird to talk about how Abraham was not a Jew, because he's kind of the first Jew, sort of. but he wasn't, and God chose him. Rahab, not a Jew, welcomed into the nation. Ruth, not a Jew, welcomed into the nation. The entire city of Nineveh that God sent Jonah to, they weren't Jews.
Egyptians.
The Egyptians that left in the Exodus, they were not Jews. Like, the Old Testament is actually full of people that are non-Jewish people mm-hmm. that saw God, understood God, and decided to be obedient to God, and were blessed because of it, and brought into right relationship with God because of
it. Well, and what's interesting to me, too, is that, like, those Egyptians, right? We know that they existed within that group of Israelites that were leaving. I don't know, and it doesn't say anywhere, but I would assume that they weren't like, get out, like, you can't come with us.
No,
like,
they left.
There was like a strange, like, there wasn't a distinction of like, well, you're not one of us, you can't come.
Because it's,
but over time, it's yes. interesting to me how like that pride and arrogance almost overcame what their whole purpose was in the first place.
Exactly. And some of that has leaked into the early church to the point that they're like, wait,
yeah.
non-Jews can get the Holy Spirit? Like, what's mm-hmm. up with that? And Peter, if there's anybody that represents the early church, probably Peter is one of those people. Mm-hmm. And Peter is having a very difficult time with this. And just, I guess, just to come back to Acts 11.
Oh, yeah, that...
That's much of what this discussion is. Like,
well, he brings back up the dream again because people were confused as to like, wait, what are you talking about? Gentiles right. are being impacted by the Holy Spirit. It's falling on them. And he tells them, listen, I had this vision. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Actually, in verse 10, it does say this happened three times. Like, he emphasizes the fact that like this was not just a one time mm-hmm. thing. Poor guy, like we said yesterday, three is definitely his number. But it's crazy to me that he actually stands up for like what God said yeah. for him to do yeah. as well, although it may not have been his first choice to do. In verse, let's see, I believe this is 17. It says, if then God gave the same gift to them, meaning the Gentiles, as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? And so I think that's really powerful too, because you can't, at least in my own experience too, you can't convince people of anything that God wants. They have to right. experience and understand it for themselves. Right. And he's like, God straight up told me this is what needs to happen. And like, who am I to stand in God's
okay.
way of his plan?
This is interesting because this is kind of an interesting, I think, microcosm of how the Holy Spirit works and how God works. So Peter Ooh. Has this vision. That's the Holy Spirit. He's sees the Holy Spirit doing something and he's like, nope, don't like it. Nope, don't like it. Nope, don't like it. Finally, he's like, fine, I'll go. Because like this move of the Spirit is confirmed by these three guys that show up and they're like, hey, right. we need you to come with us. So then he goes and he preaches essentially the gospel to this group of Gentiles. We can infer that his attitude was not completely right. Like he's wrestling
told.
With this, right?
Yeah.
So he preaches the gospel and there is a sign that the Holy Spirit is moving. Like the people start to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit falls on the people. It's like, oh, okay. There's like a miraculous sign that is confirming that this vision that I had is
yeah, it's
true.
Way beyond his skepticism.
But then look at what Peter does. He says in verse 16, and I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them that he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? So this is interesting. He has the vision. He has a confirmation of the vision, and he's reminded by God's word that what he has said would come to pass has come to pass. So I'm sort of thinking that up on the spot, like, oh, that's kind of interesting that I'm noticing this. God's word is a part of it. The move of the Spirit is a part of it. The signs that are confirming that this is really the Holy Spirit is a part of it. I think those three things are really important whenever we think that we're hearing from God, whenever we claim to be acting on behalf of God. Those three things are really, really important. And I think if you pull any one of them out, you do end up in a weird spot.
End up in a weird spot, and also like sometimes stretching things. Mm-hmm. So like you can be very deceived by emotions. You can be very deceived by things that your brain drums up on its own.
Mm-hmm.
If all those things connect, if I dream about something and then it actually happens in real life and then scripture confirms it, it's like, okay,
that's a move of God.
Right. If I'm trying to stretch a verse that doesn't say what it says mm-hmm. and just kind of make it a thing and then add a funky word that I've been thinking about for a long time, you end up in really awkward places.
You could be in a
places.
Weird place. You yeah. could be in a dangerous spot. We're not saying it's always wrong. We're saying it might be worth looking into. But what's interesting is what happens with this group when Peter gives this account, and he is supported by these six other witnesses. It says they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Now, here's what's interesting. It feels like God is doing a new thing, and he like sort of is, but I would say he's continuing an old thing that he started all the way back in the beginning, because again, God has always been willing to include Gentiles in his plan. So one of the things that's happening here is that God is moving and overcoming their own prejudice, their own misunderstanding of what God has been up to. And when they realize that there's an issue with what they've been believing, they correct it and they submit to it. So they're like, hey, it's obvious God's moving in this way. We don't want to get in the way of it. We want it to continue. And then what Luke does in writing here in Acts is he moves on to Antioch because this is now an exclusively Gentile mission.
Yeah, so Barnabas goes back. There's a lot of people that actually hear the things going on with Stephen. And I would assume fear would be a huge part of
course,
what's
of
going
course.
On. But yeah. At the same time, what's really cool, I didn't really catch it at first, but in verse 20, some of these men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Oops, wrong verse, 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So the hand of the Lord was with,
right,
like, all of this. And although they were fearful, although they were scared, they still believed.
Right.
And they still gave their lives right to Christ. And from that, that was kind of like a spillover then, like, all right, we got to get Barnabas here, which is crazy because when Barnabas goes, he also takes Saul. And that was kind of what I was alluding to earlier. Saul is becoming this like apprentice person who is learning, but at the same time, he's preaching
right
and teaching the things that he would have been very likely to try to kill or imprison someone for.
So the other day we looked at Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. And we talked about how it can feel like when you read his story that it's like, well, he was killing Christians one day. He was he had like this interaction with Jesus. And by the next day, he was preaching the gospel.
Like a fast forward.
That's not true. Yeah. Like there was a lot of time in between, most likely based on Galatians 1. There was probably 3 years of preparation. And you do kind of get that feeling here when you read Acts 11, because it is definitely Barnabas that's taking the lead. It's not Saul. It's Barnabas.
Right, right.
And so it's Barnabas that is like, hey, I will go. I'll be obedient to this mission. He's pretty excited about the mission, but he's like, I want to take Saul with me because I think he has something to contribute. And you can see that he does some teaching, but it's under the authority of Barnabas. And part of this story is that there's this prophecy that happens that talks about how there's going to be a famine, and the believers in Antioch take that prophecy very seriously, and they start to provide for and care for the Christians in Jerusalem. This is very cool because this is Gentile believers who would not have been understood to be part mm-hmm. of the plan, who are making sure that Christians, like Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, are being cared for. And it's, again, because they're being obedient to this prophecy. But one of the things that's really important about this is that significant time here has also passed, mm-hmm. but Luke doesn't call that out. If you look at Galatians 2, Galatians 2 is Paul writing about kind of his own conversion experience and what his early ministry was like. He says that 14 years had passed in this little section of time. So when Paul goes to visit Jerusalem again with Barnabas a second time, there's 14 years in between. So when we talk about time and preparation, like, there's a lot going on in Paul's life, and it's taking quite a while, actually.
Well, and even like when he's actually teaching with Barnabas, in verse 26, it says, for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. So like, this is an entire year going by, even in just that one tiny verse.
Yeah.
So like, there's significant time that he is being prepared and like learning the ropes, I guess.
And honestly, unfortunately, I think this is important to call out. When people teach that Paul had this like sudden conversion and he was just thrown into it and he was a powerful preacher of the gospel immediately, unfortunately, it does actually show that they have not mm-hmm, read as mm-hmm, much of the Bible mm-hmm. that they should read, or they're not as familiar with the story as they should be. I'm not saying that to insult anyone. I'm saying that to be like, hey, pay attention and just know that if someone is speaking like that, they're not as familiar with these stories as they should be. And that's a dangerous thing. Like, it's a dangerous thing to believe something that is incorrect. And actually, that's what happens at the beginning of Acts 11. The Christians believe something that's incorrect, and God gently corrects them and leads them in a better direction.
So I guess maybe a pretty tangible your part for today would be, although, like, thinking of Paul, specifically, and maybe you want to add to this too, I don't know, but Paul was an extreme student of the Bible, or what would have been, I guess, the New or the Old Testament at
the Bible
time.
That time, yeah.
He knew all of it, like front to back, up and down, all of it, but still was lacking the Holy Spirit. And I think that you can go either direction.
Yes.
You can either know one really, really well, or like experience one really, really well. But if you don't have both knowledge of God's word and both understanding and relationship with and who the Holy Spirit is, you can teeter in dangerous places. So my encouragement would be, if you find yourself in one of those camps, to really hone in on the one that could be lacking, so that you have a better and fuller picture of who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, who Jesus is, and what your part is.
We're not talking about usefulness. God can use whoever he wants. He can raise up whoever he wants. We're not trying to limit the work of God in any way. I think there is a wisdom to being receptive to the Holy Spirit and being a student of God's word. I actually think the Bible supports that. And actually, I think this story in just this little tiny little bit in Acts 11 shows that, because Peter is obedient to the Holy Spirit, but then he uses the word of God to confirm what he believes the Holy Spirit is doing. And then, just like you pointed out, Saul is very aware of the Old Testament, of the teachings, but he's not obedient to God and he's not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Once that happens, he becomes way more effective and way more useful to what God is doing in the church. So I think we dug quite a bit out of this tiny little chapter. I think it's a great chapter. As always, I encourage you to read it for yourself. We'll be back again tomorrow with Acts chapter 12. We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. As always, please consider partnering with us, as we are a listener-supported podcast that we hope to continue to grow with support from listeners just like you.
We've made it super easy to partner with us, and you can support us by following the link in our show notes or our description. You can support us with as little as $3 a month.
Every little bit of this helps so much, and we're so thankful for your support. With that in mind, here's today's reading.
Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. Don't forget, you can find us on just about every social media platform and YouTube. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and if you have any questions, go ahead and post them there. You can also reach out to us directly at godsplanyourpart@gmail.com. As always, if you don't have a Bible, or if you'd like to use the one that we use, reach out to us via email and we'll be happy to send one to you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.